The Jay Young Show is a weekly podcast featuring insightful discussions with anyone from big business CEOs, celebrities, to military heroes. Each interview is a personal conversation about business, life, and anything in between. And now, your host, Jay Young.
Hey, everybody. Thanks, Derek, for that. I appreciate it. Everybody, welcome to the Jay Young Show. This is the first one this year. I mean, we took some time off in the very beginning, wanted to make sure that we're tightening this thing up. We want to see what's the best way for us to go about this year. 2020 was definitely an interesting year for a lot of different people. I know that, a lot of hard things went on last year, unfortunately, you know, but I mean, man, we got through it. Here we are today. And we want to really reach out to everybody and just say, hey, thank you for watching us last year. We were one of the top shows. I know that that they have it, Real News. We're excited about that. But you know what? It's that even started. Man, we hadn't even really broken the ice with the things that we're going to do. I mean, look at today. We have Kim Francis. I mean, we've got Kim Francis in the house. It's going to be epic. So today we had Phil Romano on, and because of the bad weather that Phil couldn't get down to the network bar. So you are stuck with Jay Young, but the good news is you have Kim Francis, you know, so Kim, I'm going to turn the mic over to you and let you get this thing underway.
Great. No, it's excited. We're going to call it Flip the Mic. We are flipping the mic on the Jay Young Show, and we are going to put the host in the hot seat and ask some questions. As Jay said, we've had a crazy year, crazy 2020, and 2021 kind of started out a little wacky too. So we just, you know, the lesson is you take it one day at a time and do the best we can. So thought today, we want to do a shout out to Phil Romano. He will be on next week, live from the network bar, and be sharing all the latest and greatest what they have going on. But today we thought, let's take advantage of our airtime and let's talk to Jay about King Operating. A lot has changed in the oil and gas market and the industry over the last several months. We had negative oil prices last May. We're almost up to $60 a barrel today. So, Jay, so given the state of where we were with 2020, from negative oil prices, what caused that briefly, to where we are today, kind of give us the state of the oil and gas industry as of this afternoon.
Hey, thanks for that. And I do look forward to having Phil on next week or whenever we can, and opening up the network bar, getting things started. That means the demand's coming back, you know. Now, if you'll recall, and it was, January, February last year, Russia and Saudi Arabia, they flooded our markets with oil. I mean, just put so much oil on the markets that it just drove the prices way down. Why not, right? They're selling oil for $25 a barrel when it was $45. Drove prices way down. They're trying to put us out of business. They are trying to put us out of business. And I mean, independent oil and gas producers, public companies, they're trying to lower the price so low that we won't drill. And they did it. Well, I say they did it, but they also, along with the pandemic, it was a demand going, you know, hitting bottom. I mean, nobody wanted to do anything. So supply was way up, demand was way down. But right now, what you're seeing is since that time, we have not been drilling as many wells, and demand's coming back, and that supply is not going to be there. So, Kim, you know, personally, and I've talked a lot about this with, a lot of different radio shows or TV and whatever the past couple of weeks and months. I mean, it is going to be bad. It's going to be bad for the consumer. It's going to be good for our investors because oil prices will go up. Because of what's happening, you know, with the supply and demand. When you don't have the oil on the markets and you don't have the gasoline plentiful as you need, then that's going to raise the prices. You know, we saw $100 oil back 5 years ago. I mean, it's not like it hasn't gone there before. I believe we're going to be at $100 oil, not anytime soon, maybe in the end of this year, maybe next year. But I do believe you're going to see $100 oil again. And when you're going to see gasoline prices go up, you're going to see our funds do really, really well. And, you know, as we, you know, what we do, we acquire, develop, and invest. We acquire assets in a proven area. The field that we're at in Colorado already has produced 8 million barrels of oil. The investors will put in a $15 million fund. We're anticipating 15 to 20% distribution to investors as we continue to increase the value of that asset over time. And then if it gets to 30, 40, 50 million, then good possibility we sell. If we want to, if we decide that as a group that, hey, you know what, we're getting 30% returns and let's don't sell because we can't get enough money for it, then we won't. But that's what we do. And we're very, very bullish about oil and gas prices in the next few years. You know, so very important, you know, that, I mean, is the green energy coming? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, are we going to be driving cars like this forever? No. I mean, you see, you know, it's kind of funny because you see 100 cars on the deal. You see one Tesla and you're like, oh, wait, there's a Tesla. Oh, my gosh, we're going green. It's going to be electric. I need to sell low, buy, you know. And, I mean, that's what's happening. You'll see more Teslas come on the market. You know, it's 2025, 2030, 2035 come. We're short-term buyers. We want to invest now and, you know, get our tax write-offs, monthly income, and you know, scale it.
So, Jay, what did it mean when we had negative oil prices? I've had a lot of people ask me that. And then today we're at $58 plus. What the average person that doesn't understand what that means, can you explain that, kind of the 101 of what happened?
Yeah, and J.P. Morgan said it. I mean, they said back, you know, when oil prices were going down and he saw the supply on the market and the demand was going down because of the pandemic, what really happened was a futures trade. It really wasn't, you know, the actual cost of a barrel of oil. That's what I was interviewing Jack Graham, Pastor Jack Graham from Prestonwood, that day. And I'd gone home for lunch and the prices were like at 50 cents a barrel, you know, and it's like, okay, 50 cents a barrel, man, that's still crazy. Then it goes to minus 20 when I'm talking to Dr. Graham, and I'm like, this doesn't make sense. It has there's a 20, there's a minus sign in between that. I don't understand, you know, but what happened is that people would line up and give their oil away and pay somebody to take it because they had so much of it, but they didn't want to take delivery of futures contracts, which is a whole segment by itself. But there was just so much oil on the market and there was so many contracts out that people didn't want it. So they were just selling. And it didn't last. I mean, I believe it was in March 2020, it didn't last for a day. I mean, the price didn't stay negative for, you know, that one day. And then they went back and started going positive.
So when it is today, we're looking at, the pandemic happened, obviously everything shut down. Now the economy is coming back. You've got the vaccines. What do you see as, you know, a lot of people are going, what's going to happen to gas prices? I know the average today in Texas is around $2.39 a gallon across the state. Where do you see, when will we see the potential of $3 or plus higher gas prices?
Yeah, and obviously when oil prices go up, gasoline prices go up. But the, you know, not most people don't look at oil prices, you know, and follow oil prices as close as we do. What I'm saying is that what's going to happen the next 6 months, 12 months, you're going to see higher gas prices. You may see $4 gas by end of this year. You may see $5 gasoline prices by end of this year. Why? Because of supply and demand. It's real simple. We're not drilling for wells anymore. We're not drilling wells anymore. Institutions aren't coming back anytime soon. You know, I do believe that once the prices do go up and up and up, that you'll see more people drilling wells. I do agree with that. But I don't think we'll ever get to the same level we were pre-pandemic because the institutions, you know, they put billions, tens of billions of dollars into drilling oil and gas wells, and they didn't get what they wanted. They didn't get what they wanted in for returns. They're not going to come back. We won't see those higher levels of U.S. oil production for a long time.
Jay, how much oil does the United States consume, or actually, how much oil do we consume, and how much oil do we need to have at our disposal per day?
Yeah, so we need our consumption, our appetite, if you will. George Bush said, our appetite for oil is 20 million barrels a day. That's right. Our appetite is 20 million barrels a day. We need it. I'm not saying that we do that because of anything besides just our average consumption. Each day is over 20 million barrels. The world is 100 million, but we need 20 million barrels a day. We were producing 13 million. We're down 2 million barrels a day right now to 11. So we still every day need 9 million barrels of oil from foreign countries. Now, what they were talking about before is, you know, we're oil dependent, or, you know, energy dependent or independent, you know, because we were number one producing as much oil as we could put in our refineries, number one. But number two, we were not only using all the oil that we were producing in the United States and all our refineries, and we weren't putting together refineries anytime soon, number one. But number two is we were exporting oil. So we were literally Houston Ship Channel exporting oil. So that could happen again, you know. So, I mean, unless our demand goes way, way, way down, you know, like 50% down, like, you know, cars take in 18%. Yes, cars take in 18%. Trucking business industry is 18%. There's 38% right there. If you take those two off, you're still not cutting all your oil off of the market. You still need the other, 62%. You know, that doesn't have anything at all to do with the travel industry.
Right.
You know, that we need oil for. Our demand is going to be here for a long time.
So many people have the Keystone Pipeline coming out of their mouth. They're, you know, what does it mean? What happens? Why did he do that? Can you talk a little bit about what the Keystone Pipeline is? What your opinion is as to why President Biden stopped that, and what the implications may be to the United States?
Yeah, it's a good question. And yeah, I've answered that on a lot of radio shows here lately, because everybody like, why in the world? You know, so what the Keystone Pipeline was, is it runs from Alberta, Canada, all the way down through Nebraska to the Houston Ship Channel. That's a pipeline. It's a 30-inch pipeline that carries crude. And it carried crude from Canada all the way down. And you have some points where, oh, we need some oil. Maybe not. Then we take it all the way down to export it if we need to. So goes to refineries, or we export it. And so that pipeline, number one, it had a tremendous amount of jobs. There's a lot of jobs associated with that. Not only tens of thousands of jobs, but the families that are affected. And the taxes at the schools, and the taxes of the cities, and the flow of money that comes from that, number one. But number two, why did Biden, or you say, why did Biden?
Was it strictly political? Did he have an IOU to say that in the first 48 hours, I'm going to stop the Keystone Pipeline?
I'm going to stop anything that Trump had on his table. Yeah, that's what I think.
Like most presidents do, right?
Exactly. I mean, and he probably was out on the campaign trail saying, if I'm elected, I'm going to say no to that Keystone Pipeline. And by golly, the first day he jammed it. I mean, signed off on it. Do I believe that it's going to never come about? No. I think we'll have it back. There's no reason why it shouldn't. You know, it costs you $10 a barrel in a pipeline. Once you talk about it over a year's period, it takes $10 a barrel. So if you have oil at 60, you'll net 50 because of the pipeline. Well, if you're going to truck it or put it on a railway, which is, you know, Warren Buffett's Democratic, which is another topic, it's $30. Plus, it tears up roads. It's not good. Spillage, the whole nine yards. There was no reason why, and I've been on a lot of radio shows, asked the audience and said, hey, give me some feedback. Is there any reason why Biden didn't want this? And nobody's given me a better reason. I've read up on it. I've tried to, you know, figure. I just can't, besides political reasons.
Yeah.
Because it oil will spill more in trucks than it will in the pipeline. You know, so it's not the environment what makes sense. I think he just, you know, there's some things that he said in his campaigns, and as he got elected, and he just, you draw a line, and that's it.
Yeah, and you and I had talked about the fact that the president, former president Shell Oil, was on a webinar not too long ago and basically said if the politics could be taken out of energy, the United States would be in a much better position. And that every president gets in, they want to undo everything that the other president did. And it doesn't necessarily mean that it's a good thing for the American people. It's just a game that they're both playing, kind of cat and mouse, to say, well, now I'm in, now I can undo what you did. So, you know, I wish more people considered what it does, because I know a lot of people have lost their jobs. And particularly with the pandemic right now, that's very difficult for people to lose jobs. And what else are those people going to do? They've been doing this for 30, 40 years.
Right, exactly, exactly. And I believe that, and I, because I don't know any other reason why we wouldn't have the pipeline. I don't know why we wouldn't do the federal lands yet. I don't understand that. We don't want to tighten up oil. We don't want to tighten up oil, because the least amount of oil that we can get from foreign countries, the better off we will be. And the tighter it's going to be, we already said that, you know, Putin's is saying, haha, whatever Mr. Biden doesn't allow the United States to have, I'm ready to sell it to you. Now, you have a country, Russia and Saudi Arabia, that both try to put us out of business as a country, as entrepreneurs out of the oil business. They tried to put us out of business by flooding our markets at the beginning of last year. They've been patient, and they will be patient now, because they sell hundreds of millions of barrels of oil, you know, to the United States. Well, that's what's going to happen, is they're going to come right in here. And as soon as we don't have the oil, let's say if we drop down to 8 million barrels a day, we need 12 million barrels a day. Canada, Mexico, our friendly allies, will only supply us with so much. Then we're going to look for, you know, OPEC or Saudi Arabia or Russia or these other countries that they're not going to be as friendly.
So, James,
they try to do this.
Yeah. We don't want to be dependent. And then Saudi Arabia and Russia particularly is, like you said, licking their chops, because they know that they can mark it up and charge us astronomical amount of money because we don't have enough. Let's talk a little bit about, if you're a current oil and gas investor versus somebody that is looking at, well, maybe it is a good time for me to get into energy and alternative investments. So for someone that is looking at different investments, you've been on a lot of radio shows talking about the fact that many financial planners and accountants will tell their clients that to diversify and have some diversification in your portfolio into energy is always a great play. Why should somebody consider looking at investing in oil and gas right now?
Well, I mean, I do believe in oil and gas, and we have our money invested. I've got 7 digits, you know, invested in Larimer County, and I'm excited about that project. But I believe with everybody that, number one, you have a project that you have tax benefits, you have monthly income, and we're looking for scalability in the project along with multiple exit strategies. You know, so if you're investing in the other project, I mean, I'm talking about 99% of the other projects out there. If you're looking at it from another person, they may say, yeah, well, if you give me 100 grand, I'm going to go invest in this one well. And if it does this, it does this. I'm going to give you back $300,000 to $400,000. Those deals just don't work. And that's why we changed up our model back, you know, 5 years ago and said, hey, you know what? We need to change up our model. Actually, in 2015, is that we changed up our model and said, okay, now here's what we did. We grow the business like we did in 2015. We sold a third of our asset in 2016 for 131% return to clients. That's what the clients need. That's what they want. They want to know that, okay, I'm going to put that money up, and I'm going to be treated fairly with a good deal. I mean, that's what's not out there. I mean, you can look at our deal and look through it and do the due diligence in our project or anybody else's. And if they understand what they're looking at, they'll understand that we have given them the best shot at making money in the oil and gas business than anybody else, because the one well wellbore projects that you just invest in, these projects, they don't work. I tried it for years. It didn't work. You know, so I changed up our model. I didn't continue doing the same thing over and over again like all these other companies are doing. We're changing our model up. We're building a business together. Yeah, I've got over a million dollars in this project, and clients have millions of dollars in this project. We're going to grow this business and sell it. That's what we're all going to do together.
That's great insight. Tell us about that, though. With rising oil prices, is there a sweet spot? Because obviously, when you look at your acquired, developed, divest, there's going to be, and you own a percentage, you know, you are part owner in that mineral acreage, then you, with your investors, make a determination at some point to sell or sell half. Is there ever a sweet spot for oil prices where you're an investor and you're like, man, $80, $100, you know, anything over $100, I don't know. But what, for the average person, how do you understand that?
Yeah, it's a good question. And you know what? When you're developing a project like we are with equity, or we use a debt facility, we look at exits every year to see, is it the right time? Can we get it? Can we get a good multiple on the investment? You know, I mean, we'll make money. We did our financial analysis on this project, and we said, you know, at $20 a barrel, we're break even. You know, so if we spend the money, oil drops to $20 a barrel, we're still breaking even. Now, if oil goes to $40 a barrel, which I know it's 58, but if it's at $40 a barrel and we decide to sell, we're still going to make a profit. And if it's at 60, which it's real close to right now, we got like a double. You know, so if we raise $15 million, that project's worth $45 million when we finish doing the work we need to up front to get the project started. You know, so you look at it on a sense of what can you do with the equity you have available to you to invest, which is drill some wells, deepen some wells, drill some sidetracks, Niobrara Formation, which is one of the top formations in the country. You get this all underway, and then it doesn't matter what you're doing now. It doesn't matter what the price oil is right now. What's going to matter is when you sell. You know, when you sell. So when you sell that project, that's when you look at oil price. You know, so when we finish up this round of equity right now, when we finish up this round of equity and get all the work done, which it will take till the end of this year, at the end of this year, we're going to look at it. We're going to put a number on it and say, hey, what's it worth? What's the asset worth? Maybe we need to sell some of it. You know, maybe we need to keep it all. Maybe if somebody gives us a 2-to-1, we might as well just go ahead and I know I have some very, very happy investors. My goal is to have very happy investors. They want to come back.
Happy, what do they say? Happy wife, happy life. So happy investors, happy company.
I'll come back after you. I mean, a happy wife and my wife's happy. Everybody's happy. And you know, same thing with investors. I mean, I want you to come back and reinvest with me. So I want you to, we're going to build other funds. I mean, this is Colorado Fund. I may have I've got a Scurry County Fund right now. It's doing real well. Howard County Fund. We may have a Mid-Continent Fund, a Permian Fund, Eagle Sea. You know, we'll build these funds up. I love this. This is really, really a lot of fun for us to do this. And I want to earn your business. I want you to invest, and I want to put money in your pocket. And so I've been around for a long time, and I want you to come back, and I want you to reinvest with me. How do you do that? Well, me making you money, right?
So Jay, you wrote a book, and we've talked about this last year, The Upside of Oil and Gas Investing. It's a Forbes book. Just a brief synopsis on the premise of your book.
Yeah, hey, it's a good question, and I got it right here. And I mean, I think I need to do audiobook, because I think some people are like, well, man, if I, you know, it's not that hard to read. It's an easy, easy read. Especially, it was about my life and about my great-grandfather who had 12 kids. It's an easy read, but it talks about oil and gas in its real infancy. What's going on with oil and gas, how it worked out. But you know, the most important reason why I wanted to write the book was I wanted to tell people that we don't invest in oil and gas the same way everybody else does. We do it different. Why do we do it different? We do it different because we want clients to make money. How do you make money in this business? You know, like the Larimer project, $15 million in equity. We'll go out there and drill some wells and increase the value. And then we'll look at it at the end of the year to say, oh, okay, what is the value? And we'll sell off the whole thing. You know, if you're investing in a one well deal, and I mean, I probably haven't explained what a typical oil and gas investment is, but if somebody calls you on the phone, hey, I got a well I want you to invest in, or I got the oil and gas business, you know, they may send you some J.R. Ewing memorabilia or something. But you know, I mean, but so you think, oh, I'm in the oil business. No, you're in the lose money business because you're going to lose your money. Why? Because those deals are normally too promoted, number one. Number two, you're just investing in a one well deal. How much fun is that? If you lose that one deal, you're going to lose money forever. And I don't want you to lose money forever. I want you to invest with me in a fund that we've put together. I mean, my buddy David Moore, you know, that is in the apartment business, gave me this idea in 2015. We were on a chairlift and I asked him how business was. And in 2015, my business was down because we'd seen $100 oil forever and prices were going way down, which is not good. But his business was thriving. It was doing incredibly well. And I asked him, how's business? And he said, man, I've got more clients than I do product. He said, how's yours? And I said, man, I can't find a client to save my life, man. And he said, what do you mean? I said, well, it's just the way that's the old business right now. And he said, well, why does it have to be that way? And I said, oh, that's a good question. What do you mean? How do you do it? And he said, well, Jay, I'm in the apartment business, as you know. And he said, our investors participate in the whole entire apartment complex. You know, we do, if it's a $10 million project, they invest in the whole project. And I said, yeah, but then I quit saying, yeah, but, and I started finding out solutions on how to do it. And we figured it out. I came back, I had my SMU guy, my Rice MBA guy, and I sat down and I said, man, we got to figure this thing out. And I called the attorneys and I said, hey, stop the presses on this old project. And I told them the project and they were like, man, we've never seen this before. We just do these easy one well deals all day long. I said, yeah, I know. And that's the wrong way to do it. I said, look at my track record. Look at everybody's track record. That's not the best way to do it. I said, the best way to do it is by putting together a project where you're giving the clients an opportunity to invest in the leases. They're investing in all the drilling on every well. Like in Colorado, I mean, there's like 18 wells that are producing right now today. An investor for $50,000 owns a piece of all those wells. If we raise a $15 million fund, we will raise a $15 million fund, and you put $150,000 on it, you own, you know, 0.1% of the whole entire project. You know,
you have a stake in it. Like you said, and then
the whole thing.
And then you still could decide to sell part of it. But then if you don't sell all of it, then the investor still has a piece of that. So there's a lot of opportunity and different avenues you could take. I know we're going to wrap up. If you were going to just say to somebody for 2021, how you feel about the industry, how do you feel about the economy in a post-COVID world sooner rather than later with the vaccine? You feel good about this year that we're coming back, recovery, and the economic will start coming back and people will get back to business soon and some normalcy.
Oh man, I'll tell you what. I mean, I feel for the U.S. population because you're going to be paying more for gasoline, but you need to offset it with one of our funds. Because, I mean, our funds are going to make more money. You make money in this business by doing one of three things. You drill good wells in areas, oil and gas prices go up, and you have the opportunity to sell. Those three things are how you make money in this business. That's why I want you to come and call us and we'll show you. And it may not be the right thing for you. I'm not saying I want you to call me so I can make sure you get. No, just call and ask questions. You may not want to participate. We turned somebody down the other day. They said, well, no, we're not accredited. And then there's another guy that said, you know, I don't know if I can handle this risk. And I said, man, look, let me tell you something. I don't want you to put your money in if you're going to worry about it.
Right, you don't.
All right, go buy a stock. Ring Energy out of Midland. Well, they're not in the middle anymore. They're moving to the Woodlands. Ring Energy is a $2 stock. I've been buying it since it was 50 cents. I love it. I think it's a great company. They got some great assets. Stock market, buy it. You know, you won't get tax benefits or monthly income or the multiple, but hey, it's not for everybody. You know, so call us. We'll talk about it. We'll send you some information. And we don't have many positions available. We're selling out real soon and finishing up that raise because we need to move on and it's time to get to work.
Jay, what are ways, just before we close, how can someone invest with King Operating? What are the vehicles, investment vehicles?
Yeah, that's a great question. I was talking to somebody today about a qualified fund. You know, some people have self-directed IRAs. They're getting like 1-2%. I mean, it's like you're putting money in there and it's like you're just sitting there looking at money and not having – you know, it's not going to be scalable. You're not making any money on it. You know, so that's a good vehicle. You have a 1031 business where if you have a like-kind exchange that you want to And, or if you just want to write a check and participate and get the write-off yourself 100%. So there's three different ways on how to participate. However way you want to do it, the most popular one is for people just to write a check, participate out of their portfolios. They made a lot of money last year in the stock market. They're looking to diversify. They know the stock market can't continue to go up. You know, it's not going to continue just going up forever. Can't. You know, there's no way. So it's going to come down, and they're looking to diversify their portfolio. I mean, people have money in real estate that are selling deals, or stock market, other investments that they have. It's a good diversification product. So
how do people get in touch with someone at King to learn more about what we talked about today?
Yeah, hopefully you're seeing this on YouTube, and you can just subscribe, or you can just call us at 214-420-3000. Probably the best way, Kim. I mean, I know that you've helped me out a lot with, you can go on jayryoung.com, and you can fill out a questionnaire. Hey, if this is right for you or not, maybe it's in right for you. Maybe you don't fill out the questionnaire, but you can just go on there and hit on their questionnaire and see if it's right for you. It may not be. Or kingoperating.com is our operating company, kingoperating.com. Either one of those.
Great. Well, I think this has been great, just kind of the state of the union, so to speak, with oil and gas. And I know next week we're going to have you, Phil Romano, on to talk about the network bar, and that's going to be exciting. You interviewed him last year. I think you have a copy of his book on your desk. You should pop that up real quick to promote the Mad Entrepreneur, or Mad, which is Phil's book. And if you've eaten at Eatsy's, Romano's
Magical and more. Mad.
Yeah.
Mad means making a difference.
That's right. Making a difference.
Not mad.
Right. Making a difference. So anyway, we look forward to having Phil on the Jay Young Show. Please follow us on YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on Facebook. And we will, the new format for 2021 is we're going to be doing day shows at 3:30 each week on Thursdays, and be live. So we'll take your questions as well if you have any. So Jay, it was great to flip the mic. And everybody be safe. It's very cold in Dallas, and we have some snow coming. So stay safe on the roads, and we'll see you here next week.
Great. Thank you very much, Kim. You did a great job. You did a lot better job than I would have. So you're awesome. Thank you very much.
Bye.